The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
If you're a fan of the Tragically Hip, this is your Hip Fest. Getting hip to the hip, September 1st at the Rec Room. Celebrate the music of the hip with a live tribute act, the finale of a hip-based podcast, and a silent auction with amazing hip prizes, with all proceeds going to support the Gord Downie and Shawnee Wenjack Fund. If you're a fan of the hip, you need to be there. Tickets available now at gettinghiptothehip.com.
The first and to date only posthumous release by the Tragically Hip is 2021's marvelous EP, Saskadelphia. Borrowing its title from the original name of Road Apples, this record packs a punch in under 20 minutes of non-stop rock. Even the chilling theme of the song Montreal moves mountains with its haunting chorus. I remember downloading Saskadelphia on the Mainlawn weekend in 2021, and I was immediately transported back to 1991. In some cases, we're even invited into the studio with banter between Gord and someone named Bruce. It was a total trip hearing these songs from a bygone era with a pair of ears from the 21st century. In some cases, it was familiar, as I owned bootlegs of Crack My Spine Like a Whip and Just As Well, but these new versions were bursting at the seams with nuance that only a studio recording can offer. I felt nostalgic and sad listening, but by the end, I was grinning ear to ear. This was a fantastic hip experience, and it's one I hope we get to enjoy with the upcoming re-release of Phantom Power. And I'm calling it here first, but I think we see an Up to Here box set celebrating 35 years sometime in 2024. But don't quote me on that, unless I'm right, of course. At any rate, I'm nervous about giving this one to Pete and Tim. Although they both enjoyed Road Apples initially, will they appreciate the significance of this EP? Will nostalgia be a factor for a pair of people who only first heard the band in November of 2022? What kind of impact will this have? We'll have to wait and see on this episode of Getting Hip to the Hip.
Long Slice Brewery presents Getting Hip to the Hip.
All right. Hey, it's JD here, and we are back again for another, let's call it the penultimate episode of Getting Hip to the Hip. I'm here, as always, with my friends Pete and Tim to discuss seminal Canadian rock band, The Tragically Hip. We're going through every album, and we find ourselves at the last album, an EP, as it were, Saskadelphia. It was released for the May long weekend in 2021, and it's a trip back to the Road Apple days. Before we get too deep into that discussion, though, how the fuck are you guys doing?
I'm a little tongue-tied. I don't know. I told my kid Sage this morning, I was like, this is sort of one of the last recordings, you know, and it's about 20 minutes of music. And he was very encouraging on, you know, moving on to more pod stuff because he knows I've totally loved doing this. But at the same time, I'm like, do we have to do this today, guys? Can we postpone it? Can we just pause right here and do it later? Well, because it's like the last bunch of songs, really.
The problem is, in a week, right? We'll be here.
It's true.
You'll be here, and we'll be doing the for real last episode. Hope to see you there at Getting Hip to the Hip, an evening for the Downey Wenjack Fund. Tickets are $40. You can get them on gettinghiptothehip.com/ click the ticket button. Do that, you know, it'll be good. Pete, how are you, man?
I'm good. Your cadence threw me off there at the beginning, JD, because when you said I'm here with my good friends Pete and Tim to discuss, and I thought you're gonna say two disgusting fucking individuals, but just to discuss, and then you were like the penultimate record. So no, I'm good.
Everybody knows that by now.
Yeah, you
disgusting. Yeah, kidding me with our length or the way we. Fucking three sailors here.
That's right. Three sailors.
With your Captain Pete, who we've gotten a couple of emails from people saying, do you have to use the F word so much?
You swear like sailors. Ahoy, motherfuckers.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm so looking forward to the live event. I cannot wait. It's going to be so much fun. I hope people that show up want to just talk about the hip, and like I'm wondering what other people say because I only know you guys.
That's
it's
right.
Weird. Like I live in a bubble. Like I only really my friend Barb too, but I don't talk about the hip. But I'm gonna be surrounded with a shit ton of people who fucking love the hip. It's going to be cool, man.
Has Barb confirmed?
Barb's not confirmed, but Barb's on the fence.
Oh.
She's, I think she just, we need to push Barb over the edge. How do we do that?
We're pushing her right now.
Barb, if you're listening, it's a
love push, Barb. Barb. We're just giving you a little bump you need.
You need to be there, Barb.
Careful. One person's love push is another person's incarceration. So you want to be careful with that.
Well, I said bump. I meant like a little tiny, you know.
Was that a Burning Bush reference? Is that a Bible reference? I missed it. Went over my head. I'm out of sorts today, gentlemen. Are we going to tackle this record?
Well, let's talk about where you guys listened to this record for the first time. Where'd you listen to it? Give me the environment. Give me the background. Give me the details. And then we'll go song by song.
For me, no, my car is not a Yugo with the premium audio sound system. Close.
Surely it is not.
Surely it is not. They're out of business. No, I listen to it in the car a lot. Listen to it in my computer a lot. I've been doing a lot of work at the desk and was really surprised with this record. Really surprised. Kind of, yeah, I'll save all that. But
sure.
Yeah, listen mainly at the computer and in the car.
All right. How about you, Tim?
I'm the same.
Yeah?
Same exact. Yeah. Sitting down.
Sitting down, and it's a quick one, right? It's like 20 minutes and you're through,
yeah,
you know?
20 minutes, right.
Yeah.
It's a tapa.
When they first released it, they called it an album. I'm pretty sure they said it was an album. And a lot of people bitched. A lot of people were like, this isn't an album, it's an EP. It's six songs.
Yeah, who called it that?
I believe they did, centrally. That. But even on the wiki page now, it's listed as an EP. So I don't know if it's been officially changed or what, but I'm calling it an EP, and it's a nice bookend. You get the EP at the beginning and you get the EP at the end, you know, in terms of bookends, unless there's other music out there. And
but this came out after Gord's passing.
This did. Yes. Yeah.
21. Yeah.
Yeah. 2021.
People are bitching after the fact. Way to go, hit fans. What a show. What?
How about you, JD? JD, what was your experience when this came out?
Oh boy.
Did you grab it?
Yeah. I bought the 35th or the 30th. The 30th anniversary of Road Apples box set, and it came in that box set, and it came with live.
Okay.
It was a great box set because it came with a remastered Road Apples. It came with Suskadelphia. It came with Live at the Roxy, and I want to say another record. So it was chock full of cool shit. For me, it was just a trip because it was like the last we heard of this band was Man Machine Poem. And it's very different from Road Apples, very different from Road Apples. And all of a sudden I was listening to brand new hip that was 35 years old, you know? So it was like, it hurt my brain a little bit. My brain was doing spirals, you know, like it was like, this doesn't make sense. This is new, but this is really old. So I don't quite understand what this is all about, you know? But very much enjoyed it. Little disappointed that the version of Montreal is a live version, but yeah, I like the live version. It's good, you know?
There's a reason.
Yeah, there's a reason. And we'll get into that as we go. Should we start with Ouch?
Well, let's do a little more backstory.
Sure, yeah, go.
Because in my experience of this EP, I went really quickly to YouTube and ended up watching some of the mini episodes that feature Johnny Faye in the Universal Warehouse finding the tapes.
That's crazy.
And all that stuff. And, you know, it was really interesting to go through those and hear him talk about Universal claiming the fire they had in the warehouse that, and you know, it was, I think he said they found out about it through a New York Times article.
Yeah. Yeah. That's all I remember.
And it listed all these bands whose tapes burned and they were on the list. And so Johnny, I think, I forget who else, Johnny and somebody else immediately, it sounds like really quickly went down to hunt down the tapes and they didn't burn. And he even had a comment, or most of them anyways. He even had a comment about how Universal, they thought, actually this was Baker in a different interview, because I watched a bunch with him too. Baker said that they thought that maybe the fire and the tapes were this multi-mega cash-in on, you know, getting assets destroyed that weren't really destroyed. But ultimately, they've said that they found 45-ish of 60-ish tapes. And, you know, there's still potentially more out there.
Wow.
So there's some great interviews on this stuff. I probably watched, I don't know, 6 interviews.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, I was kind of laid up one day and just had some time to kill and watch some interviews. So, yeah, so it's maybe there is more out there. I mean, they pulled together, what is this, 5 songs?
Well, 6 with Montreal, but yeah.
6, yeah, 6. And, you know, if we get 6 more eventually, that would be awesome.
Yeah, because they are, I mean, there is talk of Phantom Power being reissued. They announced that last year, that Phantom Power would be reissued this year. The 25th anniversary has passed, but I suspect it'll be a Christmas release, you know, but I don't know anything.
That the cover of Phantom Power was actually done by Rob Baker.
Really?
That's a fact.
Oh, wow.
Rob Baker studied graphic design, I believe.
Graphic design.
Oh, at University of Queensland?
Queens University, yeah.
Queens.
Yeah.
Near the Bronx.
Yeah, yeah, right near the Bronx. Just a hop, skip, and a jump away.
Hop, skip, and a jump.
I had not heard or watched and heard interviews with him really yet. And man, I want to hang out with that guy. He is so
Baker?
I don't know. He had so many wise one-liners just in the course of conversation with interviewers. Like, he's just fucking zen dude. So chill.
Sorry.
Some of it was during COVID, and he was talking about, like, during COVID, how his son moved back home and they had set times during the week where they were jamming together. And
that's very cool.
It's just a rad sounding dude.
Yeah.
Well, get in line, Tim, because
I'll be behind.
Yeah. Rob Baker and I, we go back. We're gonna when I'm in Kingston, we got a couple of beer dates. Talk gear.
I think it was Ouch that Johnny Faye, one of the YouTube video, one of these little mini episode things that Johnny Faye, he's listening. There's a video of him listening to Ouch. I believe it was Ouch. And it gets to the end and it stops. And he's like, he's so elated and excited. And he said something like, it even has an end. You know, like, so stoked to find a complete song.
Before we jump into the record, did you guys see the because Tim, I didn't watch all the interviews, but what's his name? Craig Rogers sent that email with the videos from the Cineplex event they did?
Right, yeah.
They did an event at the bathhouse?
I didn't see that.
Oh, dude, it's fucking cool. And I mean, the only videos that he could find were Bob Cage and Escape Is at Hand, Country Day, and Coffee Girl. But they did this live event at the bathhouse, and during Bob Cage, and like Rob Eggers just playing guitar. I don't think anybody else is in the video, if I remember correctly. And Gord Downie's just shooting pool and singing no the way. Song while he's shooting pool. It's the coolest fucking thing.
Oh my God, I gotta see this.
It's so cool, man. It's one of the coolest fucking things. He's just like, he's, and it's a weird, like, I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not, when we go to the bathhouse and eventually record there one day, I'm not going to piss and moan to the guys about the pool table. I hope it's a bar size table. But I noticed that the balls in Canada, they weren't like, you know, the colored balls like we have in the US. They're like red balls and then maybe a different color.
Were they playing snooker, maybe? Is it a snooker table?
Maybe it was
table?
Like a snooker table, but yeah, I don't know.
Yes, they are. They are.
They're playing snooker.
They're not
snooker,
playing
yeah.
pool.
Yeah, well.
I just pulled it up. Sorry, Craig. I didn't go through
your email. I saw just Craig. Pulled it Thanks. Up I'm sorry I haven't had a chance to respond. I've been busy working this week. But.
Yeah, I haven't. Sorry, Craig.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Got something new to check out. Yeah. That's great.
Well, let's dive in.
Ouch. Ouch.
Ouch.
Go ahead, yeah. Timmy.
Yeah.
Take it.
This one kind of brought me back to Born in the Water. You know, I And back then, when we were talking about road apples, if I recall correctly, I had some comments about, like, it being bluesy and George Thorogood, whatever. I had some comments like, how, you know, why are these guys, they're a rock and roll band, but they're kind of, you know, in different buckets of genres within rock and roll. And not many bands can do that and do it successfully. You know, a lot of them try, and I think don't do as good of a job. And so listening to Ouch made me kind of realize, like, it just brought me kind of full circle on the Hip's abilities and their skills and their talents, and brought me to this kind of new level of fandom of thinking about that. And, like, I imagine I have some friends from back in the day who are big time music guys, and I imagine that what they would think about listening to, like, different types of songs by the Hip, and how some who are not Hip fans might think it's kooky, or why are they doing this, or it's, like, kind of out of a comfort zone. But listening to Ouch and going back to Road Apples and Born in the Water and songs like that, like, it brought me kind of, it completed the circle of thinking, these guys are really talented. They can do whatever they want to do. They got their driver's licenses. They got the keys. You know, it's just like, God, what can they not do at this point? You know, and the song is, we could talk about the song and all the aspects of it, and Gord's growly singing, and, you know, all the things. But this one just kind of, it just kind of hit me full circle with the band. And It made me think, like, at one point I was, like, thinking about, you know, in the U.S., Raiders fans or fans of certain teams, or, you know, I bleed, whatever, I don't know. It's all these stupid things of these allegiances to cultural items and how, or genres or arts, and how some people can be, like, just so narrow within a category of something that they really love, and how, like, I don't know, this, if you opened up your mind a little bit and accept things a little more widely.
Are you high right now?
Have more enjoyment. No, you can have more enjoyment. No, seriously, I had a moment with this song.
Wow.
It really fucking solidified why I like the Hip, and why I could argue to the end of all days about how they're fucking better than you too. How's wow, that?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So there. That's what happened to me with this song.
That's
so
far out.
Probably why it led to so many video watchings, because I was like, just give me more at a personal level, right, of these guys. It's 9:53 in the morning, for fuck's sake. It's not even 10. Can I wait till 10 to get
420
high?
420 somewhere, baby.
That's right.
What about you, Pete?
I dug this song. The only thing I, you know, can kind of gather that, you know, I agree with Tim on, not that I disagree with him on what else he was saying, but, you know, just kind of one of the points that he made was that this kind of brought it full circle. Like, I think when we started out, with Road Apples, Tim and I were both kind of like, where are we going with this? And then even when we talked to Paul Langlois the other day, how he was, you know, we were talking about, you know, everybody has a different entry point to the Hip.
Right.
You know, we started from the very beginning, you know. So maybe that wasn't our destined entry point, but it was the entry point nonetheless. And we kind of came back full circle, because now we got this similar sound of what Road Apples was with Ouch. And my only comments on the song itself, which I loved, it just painted a picture, and I'll read it to you. It's 11:15 p.m. The bar is dirty and it's dingy. The happy hour crowd has gone home drunk already. The band's starting to get into its back catalog and angry tunes. And the close the bar down crowd has just showed up, you know. The guy with the pool cue in the fucking case, the couple barroom hustlers, a couple of hot chicks that that frequent the bar. Everybody showed up. Barkeep's getting surly. Barkeep is getting surly, and just the drum, everything about this band, like this song, gave me the vibe like they're just up on stage playing and they don't give a fuck. They don't care. They've done it so many times. It's like muscle memory to them. And they're just, rock and roll is just fucking in their veins. And it's on display for everybody who's probably taking it for granted at the bar.
It seems that way. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because Lord knows, I mean, I took Road Apples and that shit for granted. I was like, what the fuck is this?
Did you guys go back to it? Like, after listening to this record, did you go back to Road Apples?
To Road Apples?
Proper?
Yeah.
Like, to try and see what... Like, to me, I did the same thing, and it was like, it was to try and see where these songs would have fit in. Because, like, as much as it's new material, we all have to understand, too, it's material that they felt wasn't up to snuff to make the actual record, right?
Yeah, which is weird to me. Like, but maybe it was just a time thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I thought majority of these songs on this record fucking were great.
Yeah. I tend to agree with you. I enjoy it. It's not long enough to be offensive. Like, even if it was offensive, you know? Like, it's, you're in and you're out and it's done.
Yeah.
What it did for me, I mean, I went back to Road Apples, but I also, again, went to video stuff. Like, I hung out on YouTube more with this one. And, Pete, it's funny you mentioned kind of a bar scene, because the video for this song, it's kind of all about a bar scene. It's really
I didn't know there was a video.
There's videos for a few of these songs.
Yeah, Jay Baruchel's in that video, right?
Ouch is a hoot. It's got, like... all these hidden nuggets through the video with references to other songs or albums. And
yeah, I think there was like 20 of them.
It's a really good video. Yeah. Yeah. It's a really, really good video. I watched it a couple times. Super
interesting. Yeah, a lot of fun.
So check that out.
All right, let's move to Not Necessary.
Not Necessary. Again, this is just like... I thought this song would have fucking cooked live. I mean, like most of the songs on this EP, just like pictured sweat just fucking pouring off of everybody's foreheads. And it was just a good time record, man. A good time tune. Chorus was super hooky. Just like had a great... like, it did sound, the chorus sounded like it was, you know, crafted in that time. Like, if you saw a TNC surf t-shirt somebody was wearing it walking down the street, you'd know what, like, year that kind of came from.
Right.
I don't know if anybody remembers TNC Surf. Do you remember that company?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Town Country.
Anyway, TNC Surf and Skate, it was called. But, yeah, it's just like, yeah, that would be... you'd know what era it was from. And definitely this song was, but it was just, they were just having such a fucking good time. It was kind of a window into their youth. It was enjoyable.
Yeah, that's a good call. Life on the road in the van. You can almost smell the inside of the van. Stinky and, you know, sweaty and lived in. Yeah. How about you, Tim?
I agree with Pete on all that. I don't have much more on the song. I dug the song. I really, no qualms about it. This one I went faster to video. I hate to say that I just watched videos on all this shit, but I watched a lot of videos. And this one's cool. It's like bank robbery gone wrong. It's got a total plot to it that somehow ties
in. I haven't seen the video for this one.
It's a really... oh, man, it's killer.
Yeah, check that out.
It's got a cliffhanger at the end. It's a fun video. And I just, it really, I don't know, just after listening to so much music by these guys with the cans and not having much visually other than some live stuff, like it was it was fun to find videos from this EP. So definitely watch Ouch and watch Not Necessary. Great song.
Right. We move next to the very solemn song about the École Polytechnique massacre that happened in the late 80s in Montreal, where a young man brutally, you know, murdered 14 students. And the Tragic Hip wrote a response to that. It's very loosely based in that, although it's bang on at the same time. Like, there are lyrics in it that give you chills, you know. But what did you think of Montreal, Tim?
It's a heavy one. I think I read that 27 people were shot, 14 died. You know, it's one of these songs that you could throw in a bucket by the hip that aren't something I reach for just because of the subject material. You know, it's like one of those heavy things that's marked history and something uncomfortable and something that we still deal with every day, you know, like a few other their songs in this whole tragedy. I don't know, it's you know, my maybe privilege to listen to it and feel unsettled and move on and put it in a drawer, you know, because it's fucking tough history and a tough topic and all the things. And it's also like, I commend the Hip for and Gord for writing it and them playing it live. Like, this song is brave, it takes courage. And I don't know, I don't have a lot of music, just actual tune comments about it, just because it's like,
well, okay, we also
you know, because I mean, just also being in the USA, I mean, we deal with this stuff all the time, so it's just like, you know, it's probably a song that everybody should hear and play.
Let me just tell a quick little anecdote before we come to you, Pete. I remember my friend Jeff, who was older than me, and he drove to Toronto for a hip show at the old Ontario Place Forum. And I remember him coming back and saying, there's this song called Montreal. I think it's going to be on the next record. Like, it was so great. Like, and I got to hear it again. And this is back in the day when you just couldn't hear it again. That was it. He heard it. And that was his memory of it. And that's the end, you know, like he didn't get to hear it again until years later. You hear traces of it on Live Between Us during Courage, I believe. They start singing the tail end of Montreal. Pete, what did you think of this live version?
I really liked it. I did. I thought it was very haunting. Those little, you know, cool guitar licks, those little, you know, I think they're arpeggios or something. And then when the chorus just switches over to a major, it's like a, you know, beautiful, what's the way, it kind of puts you into a happier space, but then it just gets dark again. It was just a bit of a seesaw feeling, this song, but definitely something that I don't know if it was because of it was a live version, but you know, I would probably, if I heard the studio version of this tune, I would want to hear it live too, because it was really a really pretty song. But it was, you know, of the what, six songs on this record, I would say it was, you know, I would say it was not my favorite, but I really liked it. Okay. I think just because it starts off so heavy, the record, you know?
Yeah.
So.
All right.
No.
JD, have you checked out, JD, I guess there's a DVD of that show at the Metropolis.
Oh, really?
That's available. There's a DVD that's available for free, like via the Hip Fans webpage. I haven't gone back.
Check that out because that sounds pretty.
There's some fan.
They don't tend to give things away
very
often.
Well, there's some fan footage that somebody produced.
Wow. Okay.
Well,
if you're interested in the 7-inch of Montreal, we have an autographed copy of the 7-inch of Montreal, and it'll be at the silent auction of the event. So that's kind of
Hey-o.
That's a fun one. Yeah. And I should note, it's auctioned by the four living members of the band. Like, it's not a complete, you know, Gord is not on there. But you get all the living members of the band. And that's pretty cool.
Pete, Tim, and JD to sign it too.
That's right.
That was a joke because it'll be devalued if that happens.
So we flip the record over and we get the fucking electric Crack My Spine Like a Whip.
This is called Crack My Spine Like a Whip.
This song fucking melts, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, this is the one that Johnny Faye was like, it has an ending too. This was the one he was so psyched about. This is over here in my notes. I'm finally getting on that. And this is the song that led me to ask Paul about he and Baker's guitar playing. And he noted how they're... who was it? Don Smith.
Who also mixed this.
Yeah. How he channeled them. Yeah, yeah, yeah. How he channeled them and put one in the left and one in the right. Yeah. And
the hard pan.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So this song made me... Yeah, the hard pan. this song made me realize, it was a complete picture in my brain of what these guys were doing on guitar. And I even said to Paul, I tried to get into it a little bit, but I'd love to talk to him in person about it. But this song, Paul on guitar, he's just got it just reminds me of 80s power guitar chords, you know, just like Ramones and like 80s Bad Religion. And it's just, he's just going through it. It's like he's a fucking locomotive of this song, which also ties in with Pete so many times, how you've said how Paul and Johnny are like a unit unlike any other, because it's usually drums and the bass player, you know. But these guys have such an interesting compositional makeup within each other, you know. And this song to me, like, it kind of personified their abilities, and you know, they're, I don't know, just this song's killer. I just loved it. I listened to it so many times. It's just killer. Good one. Good song. Good. Yeah. Thank you, Don Smith. I mean, you nailed it with these guys not being rhythm and lead or lead and rhythm. You nailed it with these guys being guitarists. So just fucking let it ride.
Well, I thought this song, it fucking cooked. I mean, I don't have much to say about it other than the fact that, to your point, Tim, to add on to it, I think it was more than just Paul and Johnny. I think Paul, Johnny, Gord, and Rob Baker are all like on stage in a fucking musical orgy. And strangely enough, I feel like Gord is in the background of the song. He's not he's there, but I wouldn't call him the star of the show for this song. That fucking band like just stepped in front, and Gord's like, you know, in the back, like, you know, maybe changing Johnny's fucking crash cymbal because he broke it so many times during the song. Like, it's, he's there and it's good. And I'm not trying to take away from Gord's vocals, but like the band just fucking destroys this song. You could tell they were having a blast when they recorded it. Like, hands down. They just take over. You know?
Yeah.
So yeah, good song.
One of the YouTube videos on this, I just went back to it. They're called the Saskadelphia Minutes. And there's like five or six episodes, but not all of them are posted. But there is a 1 minute, they're all short. There is a 1 minute version of or video for this song just as well, and it's got some fun live footage of the guys. And that's one thing I think Baker was talking about in a video is how a lot of these songs they did play live, and nobody, you know, he didn't really have many answers to questions about like why didn't they make it or where did they go or what happened. You know, he was just like, we had a lot of songs, and one cool takeaway of these songs in particular, and just as well, was that they didn't rehearse much. He spoke at length about how they didn't rehearse much, and they road tested new songs. He said often they'd come out and whatever new song they were working on, they'd play first. Like, that was their warm up, was road testing a song. And like bands don't do that. Like, nobody does that. You know what I mean? It's like you play first base for whatever, and you know, coach is like, "Hey, you're going out, you know, move to left field," and it's like, "Okay, I'll play left field. I think I can do this," you know. And it's just gnarly what these guys were capable of. It's pretty awesome, and it's I just to back up to our last pod. It's about the absolute opposite of what Mr. Bob Rock had these guys doing. You know, it really is. It's like if they could go out and road test a song, first show, the first song of the night.
Yeah.
Whew. Yeah. Rather than like work on something for a couple months, I think road testing was the way to go. That's the unique gift there to us as listeners.
You got to see
them
jam. You got to just see, you know, your favorite band jamming. And sometimes they come up with something and you're just like, wow, what is that? I gotta hear that. Like my friend with Montreal.
Yeah.
You know? And then when
Yeah, Baker said, you know, we played 200 plus shows a year. We knew each other. We know each other. We're all best friends. Yeah. We could do it. We could just sit down and figure something out. And if we liked it, we'd go do it. God damn.
So what?
What a gift those guys had with
so
each other.
So you merged into Just As Well there, Tim. We were talking about Crack My Spine Like a Whip, and you brought it into Just As Well. So should we stick with Just As Well for Pete? Or do you have more to say about Just As Well?
I mean, only about picking scabs.
All right. Yeah.
Because that's the line in Just As Well.
For the love of Pete.
It's going to keep getting infected. It's going to keep getting infected.
I loved that.
If you keep picking at it.
Oh, Pete, there's the new.
Yeah, right. Sure they did. I love the Ready Bruce right at the beginning. That was fucking cool. This was one where I genuinely was like, what the fuck? Why was this not on the record?
Oh, wow. Okay.
This was 100%.
Hundo.
This was probably my favorite tune on the record. Got a lot of Stones vibes.
Yeah.
I mean, super big. Everything from the guitar tone to just the song itself, just Rolling Stones.
Yeah.
and I don't know, man, the more it ebbs and flows because, the longer I listen to this band, the more I just understand each and every member because specifically this song, Gord Sinclair's bass stands out so much because it follows, I think, Rob Baker's guitar licks. And it just, what a talented fucking band, man. At this stage in the game they were. You know, what a fucking jam. What do you want me to say about this song? It just cooks, dude. You know, the hook, the turnaround, it's so good. It's a pop tune, rock pop tune, fucking formulaic.
It is a good formula, right? Like it's like original Coca-Cola. It's like it's a formula, but it works. It's
yeah, but there's a lot of Coke out there. There's a lot of soda. There's RC. There's Shasta. There's that store bought shit. But this is original fucking recipe, man.
Maybe
say
even
in
a
Spain, sabor original.
Oh, listen to that rolling R's.
You like that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the next one is
Reformed Baptist Blues.
Soundless again, free from Baptist Blue. Now you
curse me every time I tell a lie. Trading my gold chains for those starchback Texan ties. Can't beseech you that our marriage is a fraud. Can't get screwed around, the other guy is God. I ain't no raging man. Don't know what to do. Woo! I got those sounds.
See, can you just boost me and my headphones just a tad?
I just thought, let's go get in the car and go for a drive, you know? It's just reminded me of, like, my teenage years as a Catholic youth and having a driver's license. I literally had a time in my life, and it was, like, that summer where I was to go to church, and I would just pick up my buddy Dave, and we'd drive around for an hour and smoke cigarettes and go back home. How was church? It was great. You know, that's what this reminded me of. And, but it, again, it made me think about the band and the various aspects of rock and roll they could go after, which, you know, we have, in our time, you know, we had the Stones who could do that. We had Zeppelin who could do that. Maybe Queen, definitely the Beatles. You know, there aren't many bands who can go after kind of different aspects of rock and roll and do it really well and still remain respected. And still keep, you know, selling out stadiums across Canada or whatever. But this song, it's huge. It hits the 2-minute mark, and it felt like it could kind of be done or not, and it just keeps going, and that's awesome. You know, it's got like a 15-second fade out.
That works for you, cool. Doesn't it?
And it's cool.
Oh my God.
It worked for me. I mean, this is a killer song. It's the live versions of this song are amazing. This song live is.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying to you. It's alive. Yeah. It's a cooker. It's a cooker out there. Live.
I don't know, man. I mean, I have no doubt that the song cooks live, but you cannot debate that the song does not cook on the fucking studio version. Because this song, if it was like it's another barroom brawl.
Yes. Yeah. Dude. Yeah.
I mean, everything is so filthy, dirty. The guitars, Gord's woohoos, you know, just there used to be this bar, and nobody knows where this town is. It's in Cedar County, Missouri, near Stockton. It's about 70 miles from Jesus, where would you fly? What's the gambling town where they got the riverboat? It's a shithole town. Apologies if you're from there. Branson. It's about 75 miles
from
Branson. Yeah. And Cedar County,
Branson,
a town
Missouri.
Called Jericho Springs. Yeah. There used to be this bar. Yeah. I can't remember the name of it, but everybody called it the Purple Unicorn. Because there was a purple unicorn out front. And this is a bar where, like, you would 90% of the jukebox would be Merle Haggard and Waylon Jennings and Willie Nelson, and that's it. Nothing else. You would not find anything else on there. And this band would, like, maybe, you know, be staying in town and play a show there. And it would just, the place would erupt in a barroom brawl. Cop cars, black and whites all over. Fucking people getting fucking taken out of there. Bottles getting broken over people's fucking heads. And then them just fucking, you know, smoking a cigarette. And like the only way I would want to hear the song live would be with at least a fifth of Jim Beam in me. Or some shitty whiskey. Not even Jack Daniels. Just some shit. Shit whiskey. Yeah, dude. Like this song is... Ugh. It's a fucking, it's a barroom brawler tune.
That's
for sure.
Awesome. Yeah. And that's how the record ends. that's, you know, as far as we know, that's all the hip we got, we're going to get. And that puts us in a position to pick our last song for our playlists. You guys each get to pick a song, and it'll be the last song in your playlist, and you'll debut your playlists at the last episode. So in the proper order that they belong in, and, you know, everybody will get to see your playlists. What are you choosing?
Well, I know I said before that Just As Well was probably my favorite tune, but then I'm taking that back because I painted that picture in my head so well. I would say Reformed Baptist Blues, man.
Oh, that's wow.
Gonna be it. Yeah, 100%, dude. That song is fucking, you know, like where they get the guy and they throw the guy on the bar and they fucking, they shovel him down the bar and he slides and he breaks a bunch of glasses and his head goes into the jukebox. Like, that's this song. And the band's still playing. They're still finishing the song.
Because if they stop playing, they don't get paid.
Exactly. Exactly. Pool cues getting broken over people's fucking heads.
What about you, Tim? What's your track?
I love that song. Yeah, I love that song as well, but I'm going with Crack My Spine.
Crack My Spine.
I love the guitar. I love the guitars in that one.
Parenthetical like a whip.
That song did it for me.
Well, your lists are now complete.
Yep.
I will send them to you so you guys can sequence them. And you maybe do that on the plane ride over. Who knows? You'll listen to it to see if it works. But that's what I've got for you. I want to thank you, as always, for doing all the heavy fucking lifting and listening to the music, having to describe it, answering my stupid ass questions, all that shit. You guys are fucking gold to me, and I can't wait to see you next week and share you with the world. So there's that. Peace out, guys.
Peace out. See you in Canada.
Pick up your
Thanks, fellas.
You stepped on my fucking line.
Fuck you, Tim. How could you?
Pick up your shit.
Thanks for listening to Getting Hip to the Hip. Please subscribe, share, rate, and review the show at gettinghiptothehip.com. Find us on Twitter and Instagram at gettinghippod. And join our Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/fullyandcompletely. Questions or concerns? Email us at jd@gettinghiptothehip.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Duvra! Podcasts and such.